الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be respecting the elderly. And it seems like nowadays you have less and less people are less and less respecting elderly people. Those who are aged, gray hair and the like, so they disrespected them. For example, I've seen young children disrespect their parents or parents. I'm telling the parents what they are not going to do or what they're going to do, or using profanity towards the parents or towards the older person. Oftentimes, it is hard to tell who is the parent and who is the child in a parent-child relationship. There was a time when this type of relationship was prohibited and unheard of. I remember when I was working, before I get into the lesson, I was working in a place, and it doesn't matter what the place was, and that one of the children there, he was talking to his parent on the phone. I believe it was his father, and the way they went at it back and forth, I only heard one side of the conversation, but this child was very, very disrespectful towards his father. Telling him what he's not going to do, what he's going to do, cussing out. This is a teenager, cussing the parent, almost cussing the parent out. He didn't cuss because we ain't allowed that in the facility, but he wanted to say those words, but he stopped. Just shy of saying using profanity towards his father. But I could not tell the difference between who was the father and who was the son. And I got on his case later on after the conversation with his father and telling him this is inappropriate behavior. He should have treated his father like that and so on and so forth. I talked to him. He treated me respectfully. I'm much older than he is. And I'm going to assume his father is older too. But he was very disrespectful towards his father, and it seemed to have respect towards me, and I appreciated that. But still, you're talking about someone who is your elder, your parent. You can't be bad or raw or bad towards them. Now, Islamically, it talks about this in one surah, or you can even turn to if you like. In the chapter 17, I'm gonna say two verses, verse 23 and 24. So that's chapter 17. So the only book you require to have in this class is the Quran. You get them for free online. You go online and order from Y Islam, and you can go to the neighborhood masjid, and maybe they give you a Quran there in whatever language you speak and you understand best. And so you can follow along with me. If you want, you can tell them you're in my class. And maybe they will supply you with the Quran so you can follow along with my class. This is the various episodes that you miss in this particular class. And so, again in chapter 17, verse 23 and 24. I'm going to go in and read it in the English, and what's called time is very limited, so I won't read in Arabic, but Arabic is the best way to read the various verses from Quran, because you really get the substance of what the Quran is saying, the kalam of Allah, the words of Allah, substance of what Allah is saying in the Quran. And it says, this is going to be in chapter 23, for your Lord has decreed, wa qadr, your Lord has decreed that you worship none but him and honor your parents. If one or both of them reach old age in your care, never say to them even oof. It's like sucking your teeth towards your parents or whatever they do in your culture to let someone know that you don't appreciate what they're doing or what they're saying. Don't use that towards your parents. Nor yell at them. Rather, address them respectfully. So again, we don't say raw or bad things towards our parents, and or yell at our parents, and we address our parents respectfully. This is what Islam says to do. This is what we're supposed to do, and what we have to do. As far as obeying Allah, Atiullah, Atiul Rasul, obeying Allah and obey His Messenger, because that's what Muslims are supposed to do. Also in chapter, I'm gonna move on. I think I already read it to you in terms of what it also says in chapter 23. It says what I just read, and this is gonna be 24 what I'm reading right now, which it says, and be humble with them out of mercy. And pray, my Lord, Rabb, be merciful to them as they raised me when I was young. And we also supposed to lower our wing of humility towards our parents. And so the dua, the supplication we make for our parents, and this is in verse 24, chapter 17. And we are encouraged to be humble with them out of mercy and pray. O Allah, be merciful to them as they raised me when I was young. They nurtured you. They were kind towards you. They love you. They hug you. They kiss you. They make sure you had something to eat. Make sure you were cleaned up. You were educated. All these things that your parents do for you. Even today, if you, in most cases, when you call your parents and you need something, they will more than likely hop to it and help you out and do what they can to help you out. I remember reading or looking at something that was very interesting. It was sort of a cartoon looking thing. And I usually don't say this thing, but I'm going to share this with you. And they had two kids. It looked like a poor setting. They had two kids at a table with plates in front of them waiting to be fed. And so they had a mother at the stove or oven, and she had an empty spot on the left side of her chest, where she took her heart out of her chest and put it into the frying pan and was cooking it for the children. So you can visualize that, what parents do, mothers, particularly moms, and fathers too, and that what they would do for their children and the sacrifices they make for their children. This was very poignant, what I saw in this particular demonstration or cartoon, if you will, or illustration, where you had these two kids waiting to get fed, and the mother would do all she could to make sure that they ate, even if she had to take her heart out and cook it to make sure that the children were taken care of. And so we should have that same feeling towards our parents, and take care of our parents in the same way. They're aging. They're getting older. They may need your help more than before. So you don't let them just, oh, that's their problem, not my problem. You're yelling at them and not being patient. They were very patient with you. When you need attention and you ask over and over 100 times for something, they will stop what they're doing and more than likely attend to your needs. Or if you're sick, you could not, in a lot of cases, you could not pull a mother from the bed of a sick child. Because when that child is sick, she's sick too. And until that child is not feeling good, until that child is better. So you have to remember these times when your parents, and the sacrifice that your parents made so that you will be able to, you can recover from your sickness, or your murid, you're sick, and you recover from that. Your parents make whatever sacrifice to take you to a doctor, a specialist, to get you the help you need in order for you to recover. And so I want to remind you of these things, of what your parents, and if you were raised by a father or a mother, doesn't matter, as long as that parent was the one that sacrificed for you. It's like the case when Aisha, really, I had the prophet's wife, a lady came and she, and I believe it was Aisha, gave the woman some dates to eat. And she gave her two dates. I think it was 3 days, I'm not sure. And so her children gave one date to one child and one date to the other child. And they both ate their dates. And she gave her, put the date, her date in her mouth. And the children wanted that too. So she broke it in half and gave it to those two children. And then Aisha, May Allah be pleased with her. She relayed the story to Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, who was her husband. And once she relayed the story to him, he said that this you saw basically a woman of paradise, that sacrifice she made for her children. And you all know stories. Just think right now of various stories about what your parents did and they sacrificed for you. And sometimes they do it and you don't know they're doing it. And sometimes they did it and you know that they're doing it. And not because they're sacrificed, but they're your parents. So they owe a certain amount of respect and not disrespect and yelling and hitting them and beating them up of not being good towards your parents. And particularly in their old age, when you should lower your wing of humility instead of becoming one that's going to be harsh and aggressive and arrogant towards your parents. And so let me move on to the next thing. And it was a saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and he mentioned that, and it was related by Abu Huraira, one of his companions, that the young one give salam, or say assalamu alaikum, to the elderly or to the older one, a kathir, and the one passing, or passing by, or the one that's sitting should get, should, in other words, the one who's the passing by should give, say assalamu alaikum to the ones who are sitting, and or the little bit of crowd should give salams to the bigger crowd. But the main thing I want you to see here is that the young ones give salams or say, may peace be upon you, or the peace and blessings be upon you. And that's coming from a youth to, and the respect that a youth should be doing towards the elderly. No matter how young the children are or how old a person is, they're your elder. So you give them, so you say salams to that individual. And that's what we want, to have peace and blessing upon that elderly person. So let's move on. And that's from the Islamic faith. This is what we have to do, and it's what we must do in terms of showing respect towards the elders. I want to also mention to you that Prophet Muhammad, he also mentioned something else in the same arena, and that is, those who do not show mercy to our young ones and do not realize the rights of our elderly are not from us. Falaysa minni, aminna. They're not from us. And so it says a couple things here. First of all, it's saying show mercy towards the young ones. Well, it's not a man came to the prophet. He had mentioned to the prophet basically that he prophet kiss his grandsons and hug them and play with them. And when they got on his back, he was making prayer and different motions, and he would not move until that child is not on his back anymore, and then would make the move, and then he would move so the child would be hurt or fall. And so a man came to the prophet. He said, look, he said, I don't kiss my children. And then the prophet said, and the man said, I have 10 of them. And the prophet basically said to him, he said, look, you need to kiss your children, because that you're showing mercy to your children. So do this kind of thing. Show mercy to your children and hug your children and show mercy towards them. And maybe from time to time say you love them. But also keep in mind that we have to realize the rights of the elderly, and we do not overstep or not give them their rights. Meaning respecting them, meaning showing mercy towards them, meaning giving salams to them, or how are you doing? Good morning, good afternoon. Can I help you with your bag or something like that? Whatever they may need, I'll get it for you, sir. I'm sitting on a bus and I see an older person come, and I say, okay, you can have my seat. No problem. You're showing honor and respect to that individual. And so let me move on, my beautiful students, and that is basically saying the same thing. An older man came to talk to the prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, and the people were hesitant to make room for him. The prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he is not one of us who does not have mercy on our young and does not respect our elderly. And so he emphasized, it doesn't matter if you know them or not, you have to show mercy towards the young, and that we must show respect to our elderly. That don't mean that an elderly person disrespects the children, because you have to show mercy towards them. Certainly do not mean that the young ones or the children disrespect the elderly. We have to show them mercy and respect towards the elderly person. We have to get back to the way it was. At one time, as I mentioned before, disrespecting an elderly person was not the way a person's supposed to be. It is unheard of. It doesn't matter who that person is. You respecting that person because their age and they're older, and not disrespect your parent. Or you speak to them in a respectful way. You might not agree with them, and I'm not saying you have to agree with your parent. But when you address them in a respectful way. And not say oof towards them, or cuss at them, or yell at them, or push them, anything like that, or get out of my face, you make me sick. Don't say those kinds of things. If you did that thing, then call your parent up and apologize for doing that kind of thing. Because one day, you will not be able to apologize to that parent. Because they'll be dead. You'll be burying that individual, and then you have this remorse in you. Man, I should have not said that that day to my parents. I should not disrespect my parent on such and such a day. The last thing I did to him or her is that I pushed them, or I yelled at them, or I disrespect them. Do it now. Do it now while they are alive, and ask them to forgive you. You did not mean to do it, and do your best not to do the same thing again, not to repeat what you've done, because really you're just saying the words, but you're not having the meaning. You say the words, and then, please forgive me, I'm sorry, and then after that, you try your best not to do the same type of behavior all over again towards that same individual. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, this was related from Amin Abu Huraira, who said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the rider gives the salam to the walking person. and a walking person to the sitting person, and a few to the many. And also, the young one gives the salams, or the peace, as I said earlier, to the elderly. So this is the priority of what we're supposed to do as Muslims. You want to understand Islam and understand the behavior and the mannerism of the Muslim. Even giving salams or saying peace to people, we have a way in which we're supposed to do it, a category or a hierarchy the way we're supposed to do things. And that is, if I'm driving, I'm riding, then I give the salams or say peace be upon you to the person who is walking. Or the person who is walking, pass a person or a group of people, he gives salams to that individual. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, good morning, that kind of thing. And then the few people or the smaller group give salam to the larger group. If I'm with three people and we pass by a group of five or ten or something like that, then we give salam to the larger group. That's showing respect to the larger group. And so if the bunch of elderly, we're doing a double thing because they're elderly and they're the larger group. And so we're going to show respect towards these individuals. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, was using what they call a siwak. Some call it a miswak. It's like we clean our teeth with this kind of wooden thing, and it's very good for a lot of different reasons, for hygiene reasons, particularly oral hygiene. And was using a tooth stick. When two men, one older and the older than the other, were with him, a revelation came to him, or a thought came to him about the merit of using a tooth stick. He was asked to show proper respect and give it to the elder of the two. So basically what he did, he had the tooth stick in his hand. He had the two elderly people with him. And then he did what? Then he gave the tooth stick to the one who was elderly. And when you have a situation, two people are traveling together, then the person who's the elderly one, have been in religion longer, know a certain amount of the Quran, then that person becomes the leader of the prayer between the two people. And so I don't want to go on and on about that, because that's a whole another class pertaining to that. But I want to remind my beautiful students is that let's not be afraid to go back to the way it was. Go back to the time where respecting the elderly was a must. You have some people, it may be custom or whatever, where they would take the elderly and stick them in these homes. I'm not knocking homes, the elderly homes, whatever, but they prefer to do that over taking care of the elderly or their parents at home. Maybe they can't because the parents have certain disabilities and they can't deal with them at home or whatever it may be. They're not home enough to attend to their needs, and they need 24-hour care. And so, all right, so I won't go into that and tell you what to do there. You have to make a decision for yourself. But I know here where I am, a lot of times people will take the elderly and put them in a home so that home, the people in that home, the staff there, can take to the elderly person. But you have some cultures where they don't do that. You have several generations. You might have three generations living in the same house. You may have, for example, the parents living there, and the children living there, and the parents living in the same house, or one parent living in the house, and they're caring for that parent, and usually not for the parent to be the living babysitter, but they do it. Some grandparents don't mind, but they don't put them away or put them someplace or store them someplace. They keep them in the home and care for that parent and honor that parent. There was a time where a big rock, a stone, these guys, they went into a cave to keep from, because it was raining or something like that outside. So they went into the cave to seek shelter. And so while they were inside the cave, this big stone or rock dropped in front of the cave and blocked their entrance. And so one of them had an idea. They said, well, let's pray that to Allah and tell Allah that we did something just for his sake. Just for him, we did that, and maybe Allah will help them. So they each told their story, what they did just for the sake of Allah. And each time they told a story, the rock would move a little bit more. Then the second one would tell the story, and then the rock, a little bit, the stone or whatever, moved a little bit more from the opening, and then the last one told us this story, and then again the stone or the rock would move from the opening, and they were able to be free. But one of the stories that's related is that one person that he said that he had cooked for his parents or something like that. And then they went to sleep, and so he basically held the plate there for his parents to eat in the morning. And he did it solely for the sake of Allah, and did that for his parents, his love for his parents. I'm not going to eat myself. I'm not going to feed anyone else. This plate of food that I have here, or these plates of food, that's for you two. That's for you two to eat for my parents. And he waited all night for them to wake up and fed them the food to them in the morning. And because of it, and he did it in the cause of Allah, peace be upon Allah, and because he did it 100% for the sake of Allah, Allah moved that rock or that stone away from the entrance, and then those three people were able to get out because they talked about various things they did. I won't go through all of that. What they did just for the sake of Allah. Nothing else that they did they could think of. That was one thing they can think of. That they did it for the sake of Allah. They may have done other things, I don't know. But this is the thing that moved us, that moved the rock away or the stone, whatever, away from the, whatever was blocking the entrance. And so I'm just saying that to my student, is that you don't know what act that you do that's going to be pleasing to Allah. And Allah may grant you blessings for that. Or may be some kind of bad thing that's going to happen to you, and Allah does not make that bad thing happen to you. Are you in a bad situation, and because you did something just for the sake of Allah, Allah can remove that hardship or calamity from you because of the fact that you treated your parents or treated the elderly in a respectful way, in a merciful way, and you had the sabr, the patience, and also you show humility towards your parent and towards the elderly, and that you were merciful towards the young. You just never know when or what's going to be put on the scale on a day of judgment that's going to be to your favor. You don't know that. And you're not doing it so everyone can see. Look what I'm doing. You may do something that no one sees. You may do it in the dark, but Allah sees it. Allah sees a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. You have an angel on your right shoulder, an angel on your left shoulder, writing down your good and your bad deeds or what you say. And so all this, they're taking their notes, and then on the day of judgment, they put it all in a book, and then you have your book. Hopefully your book will be thick with good deeds and not thick with bad deeds. And so, my beautiful students, I'm going to end with this, and that is to find out and to learn more about the Islamic faith and to increase your knowledge of Islam. You can always go to Why Islam. You go to the International Online University if you want to receive a degree or find out more information or degree or certificate on the Islamic faith. You also go to American Open University to learn about Islam. There's other ways, of course, you can learn about Islam. You can also go to the various masajids or masjids and find out from them about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.